Okay. So to continue, we had been zeroing in on the issue of wine, and we're coming from the premise that whether you say wine is min haTorah, like some of the Rishonim, or more likely that it's midrabanan, that it's an asmachta, and it's something that was grafted onto Kiddush, one way or another, we need to understand what role it plays, whether that's a role as part of the mitzvah min haTorah, or more likely, a enhancement midrabanan, and then also specifically the bracha of Pari Pri HaGafen, which would have to be drabanan. How exactly does that get incorporated into Kiddush, and what role does it play in Kiddush? And we noted that min haTorah is very possible that this is not necessary. Just to make one hosefa within that view, so if you're talking about the view of the Magen Avraham, that you were Yotze in Kiddush, and Rabbi Akiva Eger's position, that was also the position of the Tshuva Me'ava, that Shabta Tava, to say Good Shabbat, would already be Yotze Kiddush. So, it's an interesting hosafa to that. I noticed in the Sefer of Yadaras, the Cheshbono Shel Mitzvah, I think we mentioned that. So, he initially objected to the position of Rabbi Akiva Eger. He said, how could it be enough just to mention Shabbos? You have to also praise Shabbos. That language of the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, as we've seen in the beginning of Perech Hafes, talks about Zachar Som HaShabbos Lekadsho. The Rambam seems to understand that pasuk. His interpretation, his language was that Zachar Klomar Zachareyu Zechirat Shevach Bekidush, that you should remember it with praise and sanctification. So, first he objects, how could you leave out the Shabbat? Now the truth is, I'm not sure what the standard for Shabbat is. Maybe good is Shabbat, good Shabbat. I guess the question is, when you say Shabbat Tava, are you wishing somebody that their day of Shabbat would be enjoyable? That's what it means. Or are you saying, oh, it's Shabbat, that's good. How exactly do you, how do you translate the word good? If it means that, oh, it's Shabbos, it's a good thing, because Shabbos is good, so then presumably that is praise. But I guess his objection is that it's kind of a neutral rendering of Shabbos, and it's just like saying, have a good Tuesday, have a good summer. So you're not saying that the summer is necessarily distinct. You're saying that, well, your summer experience would be good. I assume that's how it's being read. But he goes on to say that the truth is, where do you see in the Pasuk Zachar from the Shabbos Lekadsho this notion of Shevach to begin with? Maybe that's itself a little mysterious and requires some explanation. So he suggests here, and the footnotes point out in other writings, that maybe there are bases to say that it should be a different girsa. Maybe there's a girsa problem in the Rambam. And that maybe instead of Divrei Shevach v'Kiddush, maybe it should say Divrei Shabbos. Maybe it means that you should remember that it's Shabbos. And that indeed, just saying that it's Shabbos is enough. And maybe that's the position that Rabbi Akiva Eger is maintaining. So it's an interesting idea. And the problem is that if you look in the language of the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvot, so there he does, could be the answer, that he does, first of all, talk about Godel and Chashivas, the exact language, something like that. You probably saw the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvot and Kufman Hay. It doesn't say Shevach, which could be easily switched with Shabbos. It has other language of praise, and it does seem like he thinks that that is a part of Kiddush. And also, maybe one could explain the other, but the idea of there being a bracha specifically, so that which we noted was from the Mechilta, so that he does quote too. So maybe he sees that interpretation of the Mechilta, bracha Shem HaShabbos HaKadosh, is requiring some kind of a bracha specifically. So that's where you have the phrase. So that's that may indeed be the position of the Rambam, and also where it comes from. And maybe that still does pose a problem then for the view of Rebbe Eger that it's enough just to say good Shabbos. Okay, so be it as it may, but we know that Midrabanan, at least for sure, there is this requirement of Yayin. So they're trying to figure out exactly what role does it play. And one of the questions was, if you had a chance to see the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, on Daf Chavtes, where the Gemara spells out that idea of Arvos that we've spoken about a few times in different contexts. The idea that you have the ability to be motzi somebody else in a mitzvah that you yourself have already fulfilled because of the notion of Kol Yisrael Areza. So the Gemara limits that to mitzvahs. But eating, and the bracha that comes with eating, so eating is a rishos, so that doesn't fit with this notion of arvos. So I could make a bracha on behalf of someone else if we're both eating. But if I'm not eating, and I just want to use this concept of arvos to allow me to make a bracha on your behalf, so the Gemara says that that's not going to work. So in that context, the Gemara asks, well, what about the specific brachos that are relevant to our parak, both of them, the bracha of matzah at the Seder, and the bracha of wine at the Kiddush, Friday night table. So what category should that be? And if you look at Rashi over there, and the Ritva slightly differently, so they talk about the fact that because the mitzvah is going to require you to do these things, the mitzvah of matzah is going to require you to make a bracha on matzah, the mitzvah of kiddush is going to require you to make a bracha on bari pri hagafen, on the wine, so therefore it's ki'ilu achiyuv. So that's an interesting puzzle piece as far as how exactly to view the bracha of Bari Pri Hagafen. It could be that the question here is just the nature of this din, that the arvos is limited. And it actually relates back a little bit to the question we spoke about the Isha and Kiddush, that arvos presumably requires some kind of a chiyuv in order for it to be functional. That in order for me to make a bracha on your behalf, because I bear responsibility for you, so then I'm only responsible for you if you're responsible for you. If you have something you need to do, so then we can start saying, we can start discussing how I need to help you do it. But if it's not something you're obligated to do in the first place, so then how does it make sense to say I'm obligated to help you? So, in that case, it sounds like it's not an absolute distinction between Berchas HaMitzvot and Berchas HaNenen. It's just that Berchas HaNenen, for the most part, are voluntary. But if the halacha is going to compel you to make this Berchas HaNenen, because it comes along as a necessary part of some mitzvah, like matzah or kiddush, so then that wouldn't necessarily follow. Then it could be treated as a Berchas HaMitzvah, not because it's a mitzvah, but because it's necessary. And if it's necessary, so then Arvos makes sense. So then we have to try to understand exactly what that relationship is. Are we saying that the Bari Pri Hagafen is part of the mitzvah? Are we saying simply that it's necessary, and therefore it should be subject to the rule of Arvos? The Gemara over there, it does discuss that if Papa was apparently willing to make Kiddush again and again, that he made Kiddush for himself, and then someone else came in and made Kiddush for that guy. So the assumption seems to be that he was making Kiddush with Bari Pri Hagafen, and he does that again and again because that is also included within the din of Arvos. But Tzipesach Frank in a tshuva discusses that point, where he notes that if we were to separate out the Bari Pri Hagafen from the rest of the Kiddush and see it as two separate ideas, so then, especially where he's already made Kiddush, So then, okay, there should be Arvus and Bracha of Kiddush, but the Bari Pri HaGafen, which is made before, you should have a Hefsek there. And the only way to understand that it's not a Hefsek routine is if we understand that they are all now grafted together. And the Bari Pri HaGafen essentially is a part of the Kiddush recitation. So that's interesting. It's also interesting to note there's a sefer on Shulchan Aruch called Ginzei Chaim. And in the Ginzei Chaim, he records that there was a practice that among the women of the household, that when they would recite, when they would hear Kiddush, so the husband would make Kiddush, so they would still, they'd take the wine, and they'd make their own Bari Pri HaGafen on the Kiddush, the wine Kiddush. So, the question is why? Why repeat their own Bari Pri HaGafen? So the Tzlach talks about this in his commentary to the Gemara. And he notes that the Gemara says that we recite Bari Pri HaGafen at the beginning of Kiddush because the wine is causing the Kiddush, so to speak. So the Tzlach asks, well, why is that true? If we've said throughout here that wine is like the Midrabanan, and Kiddush is Minat Torah, so the wine is not bringing in the Kiddush. The Kiddush is in and of itself, and the wine is secondary, so why should the bracha of the wine come first? So he understands that it's all because you daven Tzmaariv already. Because you were presumably already Yotzei Kiddush Minat Torah. And therefore, by the time you get to your table, so now what's being mechayiv you to say Kiddush again? If you weren't at your table with wine, you would not be making Kiddush again. You would have been satisfied with the Kiddush that you made in Shul, in Davin. So the fact that you're making Kiddush now, that is Midrabanan, but it's the wine that is triggering it. So that particular Kiddush that you're making is going to be really prompted by the wine, so the wine comes first. So then he suggests, but that's true for the men. But for the women, who did not necessarily go to shul, so they are fulfilling their mitzvah of Kiddush Minhat Torah now. So for them, it makes sense to do it the other way around, that just the Kiddush should come first, and the Bari Pri HaGafen is secondary that they should make after it. That's a very interesting formulation. It seems to be somewhat L'shitaso. This is the Tzlach. The Tzlach was written by the author of the Dagon Revava. Right? The same one who prompted that whole question we talked about last week. That there's a split fulfillment that the men are Yotzei in Shul and they still have to make Rabbanan and make Kiddush at home. So how are they going to be most of their wives? So here, that same author, the Tzlach, is saying here again that men are Yotzei Kiddush and Shul, and that's why they are reciting Kiddush on the table in this order, with the Bari Pri HaGafen first, and then the Bracha of Kiddush. But the women are not, and therefore there's a spot for them to do it the other way around. So that's an interesting thought. The Ginzei Chaim himself suggested that maybe this minhag, which is not necessarily so widespread, or you know, the way to go, the only way to go, but as far behind it perhaps, is that Bari Pri HaGafen in Kiddush actually serves two roles. So it's actually a part of Kiddush. It's also being recited over two roles, but it's a different role. I mean, that plays two parts. That it is a part of Kiddush, and it's also a Birchas Hananen. So perhaps some developed this custom that when they're listening to Kiddush, that the Bari Pri HaGafen they relate to only as a part of Kiddush, but not as their own Birchas Hananen. So therefore they recite their own Birchas Hananen when they are about to drink the wine. Well, a very interesting suggestion. Okay, so far so good? Okay, there's also an interesting question which puts another issue on the table as far as the role of the wine, and that is the question of what the same mitzvah habav yaveres, the tshuva sur Yaakov, he discusses. Let's say somebody would steal some wine and make kiddush on it. So would he be yotzei kiddush on any level? Now, first of all, public service announcement, do not steal wine for kiddush. That is a betrayal of everything that we are trying to teach you. We're just trying to identify the various parts of what affects what. So for sure you are doing digaveris and missing the whole point of mitzvot if you're going to steal wine for kiddush. Just the question is, how fundamental is that to kiddush itself? As a parallel issue, that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, no question that it's not healthy for your Rosh Hashanah tshuva davening to steal a shofar, and highly, highly not a good idea. But nonetheless, the question can still be compartmentalized about whether there is a mitzvah habavi aveira with a stolen shofar, and indeed the Rambam thought there was not. So here too, how do you understand the role of wine in kiddush? Is it kind of secondary to make a bracha hakos? Or is it integrated into the kiddush experience so much so that if you were missing it, that would perhaps take away the whole kiddush in itself? So that, so we can combine with some of the other issues that we have considered about just how fundamental the wine is and how fundamental the bracha is. It's interesting that some of the literature that talks about this, the Tshuva Me'ava, for example, where he raises the issue, he talks about two questions together, which are really separate questions. He talks about, let's say, if somebody recites Kiddush, Al-Hakos, and he discovers afterwards that he thought it was wine, it really was something else. Or he recites Kiddush and drinks the wine, but forgets to make the bracha of Bar Priyaga. Are you Yotzei Kiddush anyway? So those two questions are really different questions, because the first question goes to the issue of how much is the wine crucial to the Kiddush? If it turns out that it wasn't really wine, so what? How much does that impact it? And the other question involves your drinking actual wine. The question is just you forgot to make the bracha. So then the question focuses on the bracha. So if you have the wine, but no bracha, so how does that fit in? So that's a part of what we're trying to figure out here also, that even if we say the wine is important, is there a basis to see the Bar Priya Gafen as itself significant and indicating the idea that we start off with it specifically, which was the machlokes b'zil and b'shamay, but Rav emphasized the idea that we put the Bar Priya Gafen at the beginning. And as Rav Yosef Frank was emphasizing, the fact that that doesn't constitute the hefsek. So what does that tell us? What does that say about the role of the bracha specifically within the kiddush experience? And we also mentioned yesterday, and last time, the idea that if you don't hear the bracha of Bar Priya Gafen, that might impact your whole kiddush, like Reb Chaim understood. And he contrasted that with Havdalah. And we noted that this creates a real practical issue when you're in yeshiva for Shabbos or in some other large setting. If one reciting kiddush sits down for the bracha, so it's very, very common and very likely that the rustling of 100 chairs will prevent you from hearing his Bar Priya Gafen. And that may have some actual halachic impact. So how do we relate to that idea that the bracha of Bar Priya Gafen could be actually integrated into Kiddush itself? Any thoughts about that? If we're trying to say here, or seeming like the evidence is telling us, that the Borei Pri HaGafen is really a part of Kiddush, more than just a necessity for a Brach Al HaKos, what could you glean from that? So it's interesting to note that together with what's also been accumulating evidence, that Achila has such a big role. And the idea that Kiddush is associated with Achila seems to really be manifested in a number of ways. One of which, the topic we're going to explore in greater depth coming up, the whole idea of Kiddush Mo'akum Suda, that is clearly a big part of it, and the idea that very strongly ties Suda with Kiddush. So Kiddush and Achila become connected from that. The idea that we mentioned the other day, that wine is ideal, but the runner-up is not Chamar Medina, but is bread. And what bread and wine have in common is they're both a part of Kviyat Suda. They both have a message of the meal being formalized, and that the Kiddush should be associated apparently with the formality of the meal. That's also quite interesting. And if you saw the Magen Avraham sent out today, that it's also noteworthy that when it comes to Kiddush, so we know we're not supposed to eat before Kiddush. Interesting, when my daughter's about 5 or 6, I came home Friday night from shul and she offered me a candy. I said, I can't eat it right now. So she said, why, you're fleishik for this? Are you milking for this? He was trying to figure out what my issue was. And I said, I haven't heard Kiddush yet, so I haven't made Kiddush yet, so I can't eat it. So she said, oh, only grown-ups? It's actually a whole discussion, which is its own topic, the fact that when they Kiddush in shul, so the one reciting Kiddush can't taste the wine because it's not the Makom Suda, and the practice is to give it to a katan, which is a whole controversial discussion of itself. So apparently working off the premise that yes, that Isser is only for grown-ups, but the whole nature of not eating before Kiddush is interesting, because it seems like, yes, it's true that when it comes to mitzvahs in general, so we have a kveda not to eat before the mitzvah, but when it comes to Kiddush, it's clearly more chomer, and that for other mitzvahs, so we don't want you to eat before the mitzvah, but we don't have the same absolute prohibition. So the Magen Avraham, that I put in the list this morning, the Magen Avraham talks about that, about how, you see, it's not simply that, okay, we don't want you to forget about the mitzvah, so therefore don't eat until after Kiddush. But it's a part of what Kiddush is about, that the whole nature of Kiddush is that the Kiddush should be before you eat anything. So that the eating and the Kiddush are integrated. And they're integrated in both directions, in how you make a Kiddush and how you eat and when you don't eat. All of that all comes together as far as the mitzvah of Kiddush. So there is this notion that we sanctify Shabbos through this context of eating of the Suda, and that the bracha has a particular role. So the eating is important, the food is symbolic and central, and specifically the bracha that is recited on it is also considered to be significant. So what do we see from that? And to add one more nekuda, the Gemara in Brachos, that I also put on the list a little bit later, that the Gemara has the phrase that Borei Pri HaGafen has a role, even when you've had a roll, even when you were made hamotzi on a meal, so you still, same inadvertent pun twice in one chair, but not intended either time. So even when you've had a roll, you still make a bari pri agafen. The Gemara has this language, wine is different, that even though normally hamotzi covers everything, but yain is garim bracha b'fnei asmo. Yain causes its own brachos. And Rashi there talks about the role of yain in kosher bracha. But what it seems to reflect is that wine is something that is introduced for its own chashivas, not just as part of anything else. And the bracha is a part of a special acknowledgement of that role. And that it's different. And the Shechter talks about this in the Sefer Tzvi. You see, it's different than a normal bracha tanenet. That it's not like, okay, I want to eat cake, so we should make a mazonos. Or you want to eat vegetables, so you make a hadama. But it's that there is a special shevach that comes from the Bari Priya Gafen that's tied into its role of greater formality. And that is acknowledged through the bracha. The bracha, almost, the bracha Bari Priya Gafen, it doesn't say it like this, it's almost like a quasi-brichas ha-mitzvah. It almost leaves the status of a normal brichas ha-nenin because it has this ceremonial stature associated with it. So he notes, I believe Rav Shech notes in Artitzvi, if I remember correctly, that if somebody were not to fulfill this particular din, and if somebody were to have a suda and have wine in the middle of the suda and not make a bari priya gafen, he wouldn't be considered nenna me'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. It wouldn't be like eating cake without making a mezonos. That on some level it is covered by the hamot. And as far as the hana of orif, let's say he would make a shahakol, that so that would take away the issue of nenya b'lo bracha. There's an additional element beyond the normal bracha that the bari pri hagafen seems to represent. So when you think about all that, and then you see all of this in the context of Kiddush, so you can put this together with comments that the Soloveitchik made, and the mention he gave your Yartzeit about this, and you kind of have to take from different places. The Yartzei Shirim is also talked about in the Rishima Shirim, the Rechman wrote on Masechus Sukkah, that the Rav essentially explained that there's a strong, putting in a little bit different words, an idea that basically there is a strong thematic link between Kiddush and Berachos HaNedarim. And do anyone see where we're going with this? What's the thematic link between Shabbos and Berachos HaNedarim? Have any thoughts how that can be, how the two can be parallel to each other? Zach? True, yes, and now take it a step further. So, what is the spiritual statement?
That God is
the source of all. Right, okay, very good. Yes, that does take it. So, basically, essentially, what's happening in both contexts is that we have physical benefits that God provided for us. In the case of Shabbos, we have the entire physical reality, all the laws of physics, the whole existence of physics. But that's there for us. But what we have to do is we have to acknowledge God's creation of it. So 6 days a week, we are allowed to engage in the creation of things in the world. And in order to justify that, we have to take out one day a week to acknowledge God's creation of the world. And that's what Shabbos does. But it's very parallel to what we find in Brachos HaNedarim, right? That essentially it's almost, that's pretty much the dialogue the Gemara has in Brachos, that Hashem Haaretz Umlo'a, that God owns everything, but Hashemayim Shemayim Hashem Ve'Arz Maslam Ve'Adam, that the land was given to humanity to use, and the Gemara asks, well, which one is it? Kam Kod Nebracha, Kam Acha Bracha. That after you make the bracha is the matir that allows you to benefit from this world. So there's a strong link thematically between what Shabbos is doing and what Berachos HaNedarim are doing. So at least the final package, Midrabanan, of Kiddush that we have, integrated into the process of declaring Shabbos as the recognition that God created the world so we can be manifest from its creation, we integrate into that a bracha that says that we recognize that God made the food that we eat, and that's what allows us to enjoy it. And it's a bracha, it's not stam a bracha sanenin, it's a higher level. It's a bracha sanenin that specifically connects to kviya suda, so either pas or yayin, or something about that, and our suda is integrated into that experience, and Barya Priyagafin itself as something that is more ceremonial, something which, even as it does function as a Berachas Hananin, but functions as more of a Berachas Hananin, going Bracha L'Atzma is a way of acknowledging this greater ceremonial aspect. All of that is integrated into the Kiddush experience. Okay? Make sense? Any thoughts? Okay. So, yeah, a lot of interesting ideas to think about. Just quickly, Chazer, that portion of Kudus at the beginning, and added talking about the idea of Arvus and how Bari Priyagafen could get pulled into Arvus despite his Berachas Hananin status, and there's Shi Pesach Frank's Nakuda about that. We talked also about the minig that some women had to make their own Bari Priyagafen, and the last perspective on that, which seems to parallel what he wrote in the Dabur Rava. And the other approach of the Gitzei Chaim, we talked about whether the din of Mitzvah Havavi Avera by stolen wine, and the question of if you have wine turns out not to be wine, or wine that doesn't have a bracha, how does that affect your Kiddush? And we talked about the whole fact of Kiddush being associated with eating, most prominently through Kiddush Makom Suda. Also through the fact that the Isser of eating before Kiddush is unusually chomer, and a few other details, and the Bari Priyagafen has a extra element of Goren Bracha Sme'atzmo, and then we talked about the whole idea of the Berachas Hananin being integrated into this process, and how Shabbos and Kiddush and Berachas Hananin overall all have this element in common, but it's about acknowledging God's creation, and in that context being able to partake of this world. Okay, so with that acknowledgement of God's creating the world, I hope you have a wonderful enjoyment of today and His creation, and all in that recognition of the Kiddush Shem Shemayim, and I look forward, God willing, to seeing you tomorrow. Have a great day.